in partnership with NFLandShook.com. It's the Go Show, your original LSU podcast, coming to you via the Talk Show airwaves on a Tuesday night. It is November 2nd, 2010. Previewing LSU and Bama this week on the Go Show. If you want to get in touch with us, many ways for you to do that. You can visit the site, as always, AndTheValleyShook.com, AndTheValleyShook. Email the Go Show itself, GoShow@gmail.com, GAUXSHOW@gmail.com. And also subscribe. You can subscribe to us through iTunes and download us through your iPod. Many ways to listen to the show, interact with the show. Those of you who have been listening to the show for a long time, haven't checked out the website yet, most of you know by now, we're all part of Ann Valley Show, part of Sports Blog Nation, number one LSU sports blog out there. You can also listen to archives of the podcast by scrolling down on the left-hand side of the front homepage of the website, clicking on a little yellow box with blue letters that says Podtrack Player, and full of old shows from that there. I am your host, Kerry Muntz, coming to you again, LSU off a bye week this week, so we are strictly just going to preview LSU and Bama, maybe talk a little BCS. As I stated, I am your host, Kerry Muntz, tonight. With me tonight from AndTheValleyShook.com, Mr. Billy Gomilla. What's up, Billy?
Greetings, ladies, gentlemen, and humanoids.
And from Roll Bama Roll, also part of SB Nation, we have Todd, and I don't have a last name on Todd. Didn't speak to him that much off air. So, Todd, we welcome Todd from Roll Bama Roll. Did I get that correct?
That's correct. I have a very unique last name. It's Jones. I'm sure you haven't met anybody else with that.
I've never met a Todd Jones in my life, actually. So I'm sure there are many Todd Jones out there. But
well, I usually get confused with the pitcher, so.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay, and then Todd Jones can go something there as well as the pitcher goes. So what's going on tonight, Todd? What's going on there in Bama land?
Just sitting here enjoying the fine Middle Tennessee State Arkansas State game we got going here, and getting ready for this weekend.
And nothing says quality football action like a good tune in, like the ESPN Slobanaka between
Sunbelt was made Tuesday.
Yeah, Sunbelt. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I thought that was Sunbelt Conference. So, yes, this is a big week of college football. As we know, LSU and Alabama. Going to kick off at 2:30 on CBS. So we have stuck with the Vernon Gary show once again, unfortunately. Most LSU fans would all like it to be a night game, but, you know, when you play big-time college football and things of this sort, that ain't going to happen. That's just kind of lay the land, and CBS has a 2:30 time slot. They have first pickings, and it was just pretty much inevitable looking at the rest of the games on the slate that this would not be the 2:30 game. So, and Billy, I'll start with you, and we'll kind of kick things off and just kind of go straight into talking about the game. Coming off a bye week, Billy, looking briefly back at Auburn, what's your pulse on the team? How do you think they're going to respond to just basically getting manhandled in every which way, shape, or form against Auburn? Last Saturday, how do you think they're going to come out and respond here in Baton Rouge on Saturday afternoon?
Well, so far the general vibe seems to be, you know, excitement. I mean, every quote I've read, stresses how big of a deal this game is, and understanding that, you know, this has been one of the toughest games for LSU the last 2 years. It's been a tight game. It's been a game that LSU's had opportunities to win going into the fourth quarter and hasn't got the job done. And it sounds like the players are kind of ready to flush the Auburn game down the toilet. And that's a good thing, because they really did just, you know, and it was kind of hilarious to me to see the narrative by some people after that game, trying to pretend that this was just some terribly dramatic loss. And all I just kept saying was, they got beat by a better team. Auburn just lined up, beat them in the trenches, and you're not going to beat anybody when you lose in the trenches. Their defensive line kicked LSU's offensive line's butt, and vice versa.
Yeah, it's without question. I mean, it was, and I went on and on last week. I thought the scheme defensively, I thought was bad, but it still doesn't take away from what Auburn's offensive line did. You watch it. And you watch, I mean, Gene Chizik, and everybody talks about you know, he was just getting just hammered when he got hired at Auburn. But I mean, you get a good offensive coordinator, a solid offensive line, a veteran offensive line, and a few skilled players, you catch lightning in a bottle, and a lot of things can happen. And that's what's going on at Auburn right now, because that offensive line is it's one of the best offensive lines I've seen in the nation. But you know, all that being said, I thought LSU just came out real flat in that game, but they also it also allowed Auburn to really push them around a lot more than what should have happened. And that the score was definitely not indicative of what the game looked like. It was very reminiscent of the Florida game last year, where it was 13-3, and we just got outplayed, you know, outgained, out you know, everything. Just lost the game in the trenches, and it's really disappointing, because that's the one point I thought offensively there were just some things we could not do to exploit Auburn's weaknesses, because we didn't have time to throw the football. And on the defensive side of the ball, I thought we just kind of stood around just waiting for Cam Newton to make plays instead of attacking. And but it stood a thing away from the fact that we just got outplayed in every which way, shape, or form. Let's switch gears to you. Since the South Carolina loss, Alabama's come back. They beat, I think, Ole Miss 23-10. And I think is that the only game y'all played since that game, or is there another one I'm missing?
Yeah, we played before the bye week. We played Tennessee, 141-10 there.
That's right. I forgot about the Tennessee.
It's easy to.
What's that?
It's easy to forget about that game as bad as Tennessee is.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the same week we played Auburn. Yeah, I remember watching that game before. I think it was actually that night the game came on after LSU Auburn. So what's the vibe in Alabama coming into LSU? I mean, y'all, what's the confidence level? Y'all think y'all have a chance to kind of get back in the national championship race? I mean, obviously sitting at 6 in a BCS, some other pieces have to fall. So. I mean, what's the overall sentiment as far as the feeling of coming into Baton Rouge? I mean, you've got to feel pretty confident, you know, based on the fact that you've beaten LSU the last two seasons in real close games, and came to Baton Rouge 2 years ago and beat us in overtime. So just kind of give us a sentiment overall of what's going on in Alabama this week.
I think, you know, you start off with the BCS thing. I think, you know, most fans are pretty confident that if Alabama wins out, they can get back to Glendale, or get to Glendale, not back to it. But you know, the back end of the schedule really shaped up well for that run. You know, you've got LSU, even though coming off a loss against Auburn, still highly ranked team, and only a one-loss team. So, you know, and obviously no slouch as far as media perception goes. Then you have Auburn, of course, being, you know, at number 2 in the BCS and undefeated, blah, blah, blah. If they stay undefeated, beat them. You know, that works out well. And same, Mississippi State is a top 20 team right now, and looks to still be a top 20 team by the time we play them. So the schedule sets up very favorably. It doesn't mean that the schedule gets easier, though. It's not favorable right in that regard. Because really the two toughest tests that we're going to have are LSU and Auburn. But the biggest thing, you know, the thing I think has most Alabama fans worried is the fact that LSU has that interior running game that we haven't really, you know, we haven't had a great stop of anybody that has a really good interior running game yet. Penn State with Evan Royster, they were able to exploit a lot, you know, and South Carolina did the same thing. They were able to, you know, really power run against us, and we haven't been able to stop the run when people have really just, you know, they've just lined up with their offensive line and pushed us around. You're talking about, you know, losing the battle in the trenches, and unfortunately, you know, now with Terrence Cody gone, and we've had a lot of the injury, we've had really bad injury luck in the front seven, so we just really haven't been very, very good as far as the defensive line goes so far. So with Stephen Ridley, I would say arguably Stephen Ridley is the best interior runner that we're going to face this season, at least at running back. Cam Newton's probably the best interior runner that we're going to see this season. But, you know, that's going to be a big I think that's where everyone is really worried. It's just simple fact that the defense, even though the defense has been good, you know, we have good stats, and aside from the South Carolina game, they've, you know, they've kind of done what they needed to do to keep teams, you know, play good red zone defense and gotten a lot of good turnovers. But for the most part, they're just not that same kind of dominating unit as last year's. So if, you know, if the offense is floundering, you can't depend on the defense to bail you out. And that's really what happened at South Carolina. So I think that's why you know, even though the schedule has set up favorably for us to make a good run at the end of the season, it's not easy by any stretch of the imagination.
Gotcha. Billy, let me switch gears to you. Speaking and bouncing off of what he's talking about, Alabama struggles on defensive line issue. Do you think LSU is good enough to kind of exploit that going into the game Saturday? Do you think we can try to focus on that and try to you know, use that as kind of a focal point of the offense on Saturday, which has kind of been the focal point of the offense most of this year?
Well, and that's going to be the most interesting thing to see. The one thing that LSU doesn't have, you know, in comparison, well, maybe Penn State, it's a bit of a good comparison, but compared to, like, say, South Carolina and some of the other teams that have had success running on Alabama, is just atrocious quarterback play, and there's very little reason to respect, you know, the downfield passing attack of this team. That's kind of been what's kind of stood out to me at Alabama watching them this year on defense compared to last year, is it looks like, you know, what they've gained in size in the secondary. I think every defensive back on the team is north of 6 foot and north of 190 pounds. They've lost a little bit of speed, you know, on that back eight, you know, at linebacker. You know, Dante Hightower looks a step slower coming back off that knee injury. Defensive backs, like I said, you've kind of traded speed for size. You know, teams have had a little bit of luck getting outside on them, but at this, like I said, the team, even Steven Garcia, you know, is clearly outplaying anybody that LSU has a quarterback, whether it's Jared Lee, Jordan Jefferson, or the two of them put together, really. So that's going to be the question, is can the running game find room, and can Gary Curtin commit to it? You know, it's been a big problem with him. Even against Auburn at times, it felt like, you know, run, great. You know, the run's working. Keep going with it. Oh, well, no, we're going to pass on first down here, and it's going to be incomplete. And now you're suddenly behind the sticks, and you wind up being in third and long, and you know, which is the absolute last place you want to be with either one of these quarterbacks, never mind against a good defense.
Right. And, yeah, that's – and going back real quick to the Auburn game again, you look at the first drive – that we had, we were, I mean, very successful. I mean, we ran the ball, you know, almost at will on that first drive, and they forced an end with a bad pick by Jordan Jefferson on a high throw, and after that, we seem to kind of go away from that. But you know, I mean, you're absolutely right. If we can't get good consistent quarterback play, I mean, Alabama's without question going to load the box, load up to stop the run, and make our quarterbacks throw the football to win, and that's. That is, I mean, that's cliche-ish, but it's absolutely what's going to happen. It's there's no other way to paint it. When you have bad quarterback play like we've had this year, that is what's going to happen. That's the way I think the game is going to be won or lost, is whether or not LSU can make some plays in the passing game and do some things to keep Alabama off balance, whether it be with George Jefferson running. You know, running the ball, which he did successfully against Auburn. We criticize Jordan Jefferson when he needs to be criticized. Let's give him props. I mean, for about a quarter and a half, he was matching what Cam Newton was doing, running the football, and, you know, for only a quarter and a half, though. But some of those things that were successful, we can never seem to build upon early success that we have in games. I think I said that a couple of weeks ago. We never seem to be able to get past that brink. We know we always have a successful drive going, and a turnover kills it, and we seem just kind of lost. LSU's never able to be able to get to that next level offensively. To, you know, once a team makes adjustments against our offense, we can't counterattack that. We lose it at that point. That's where I think the problems are going to be Saturday night, and that's. My main concern. So Todd, what do you think the keys to victory are for Alabama on the defensive? Let's start with defense. Let's stay with that. Alabama's defense versus LSU's offense. So you're pretty much thinking along the same lines of what me and Billy were talking about?
Yeah, I really can't disagree with a lot of what y'all said. You know, kind of looking at this game, I would say that Jordan Jefferson as a runner probably poses the biggest threat to our defense, because we've had You mentioned Dante Hightower looking like he's a little bit slower, and he has. He hasn't really played up to the level that he was playing at as a true freshman or as a sophomore before he got hurt. And, you know, people expecting him to be the next Rolando McClain this year, and he still isn't even Dante Hightower yet. So, you know, we've had a lot of problems with pursuit from sideline to sideline. The linebackers have not – you know, they've kind of been a liability in lateral pursuit, and teams have been able to get on the outside on us. So having Jordan Jefferson as a running threat, if y'all can really, as you mentioned, if Crouton will really commit to the run with Ridley and really, you know, kind of use Jefferson as a runner as well, I think y'all could have a lot of success against our front seven. And I don't know, you mentioned the quarterback play on y'all's end, and I think that's kind of the thing that, you know, that's what – the LSU offense is missing, is there's just not that big play explosive threat out of the passing game. And so, if y'all can commit to the run and can use Jefferson in good ways, like he has been successful as a runner. And if you can really, you know, kind of build on that instead of trying to force him into, like you said, throwing on first down, getting behind schedule on down and distance and things like that, if Crouton will commit to the run and commit to using Jordan Jefferson and using his particular skill set to the best he can, that could be a nightmare for our defense, because, you know, we've had a lot of problems getting off the field on third downs because we're not really stopping teams successfully on the early downs. And, you know, teams have been able to get into third and short on us a lot. And so I think y'all would be able to have some success and be able to sustain a lot of drives like that. So I think that would be my biggest nightmare. But on the other end, though, you know, if we do see kind of that same game plan of getting away from what works, trying to throw the ball on first down, trying to make something, you know, big happen in the passing game, that would probably feed, you know, right into what we do best on defense. And that's, you know, we haven't really had, I'll say this, we haven't really had that dominant defensive pass rusher so far. I think coming off the bye week, both Marcel Darius and Courtney Upshaw have just been, when they're 100% or when they're close to 100%, they've been very dominant. Unfortunately, they haven't been. Both have sustained ankle injuries, and obviously Darius had to sit those two games at the start of the season. But if we can get both those guys back off the bye week looking healthy, then, you know, it could be a nightmare for y'all in the passing game. So, yeah, I just, like I say, I agree with y'all. If y'all can commit to the run and really use Jefferson as a running threat, that could be a nightmare for us. But at the same time, if you're trying to generate explosive plays in the passing game, that really feeds right into what we do best.
I got you. And Billy, let me ask you this. And this was kind of going away momentarily from what we're talking about as far as the X's and O's of the game. What I haven't heard much. And I'm assuming it's a non-issue, but what is the status with Jared Lee in his wrist? Is he 100% ready to go? Is there still some problems there that we don't know about? Because I really haven't read or heard anything since the Auburn game.
I haven't either. And the fact that, you know, he missed the series that it actually got hurt, you know, on it in the Auburn game, but he came back in, you know, as soon as he was, you know, scheduled to do so. So I assume it's okay. You know, I mean, he didn't play well against Auburn, but I attribute that more to having Nick Fairley in his face than his wrist.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. I just wanted a quick injury update. I wanted to make sure I was on along the same lines as you, was thinking everything was okay with that, because I hadn't, like I said, I hadn't read or heard anything. I don't know. I gotta think that we're gonna see a lot more of the same offensive type stuff. Jordan Jefferson, I would think, definitely gets a start, because there was nothing that Jared Lee did against Auburn that would, you know, signify him getting a start over Jordan Jefferson. But it's just gonna be Jordan Jefferson first two series. Jared Lee comes in for third series once again.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, and barring some sort of insane disaster on that first series, but I don't see that happening. I imagine, you know, the rotation's going to stay the same until one quarterback stands up and says, no, I think I'll play two or three series in a row now, you know, but none of them really have. I mean, Jared Lee came close against Florida, but at the same time, Jefferson was playing well when asked and was doing the things that were asked of him, you know, namely just picking up runs and helping, you know, kind of constrain the defense for other runners to pick up yards too. So it's one of those things where it's going to stay the same until one of them really shows on the field in a game, I got this.
Right. And And this is the thing that worries me once again, because you worry about after the tough loss to Auburn, where the team's mindset is. You'd like some leaders to step up and, you know, really get focused on playing. And one of the things that you definitely have to account for, because it's happened in I think every game this year, within the first two series with George Ellis in, we're going to turn the ball over. I think we've done it every game this year.
But he's also got points on this for on at least one of those first two drives too. From the Tennessee, I mean, the touchdown on the Tennessee, the first, you know, the,
well, yeah,
the second
Tennessee
play.
Game. He ran for the touchdown on the first play of the game.
Field goal drives against Florida and Auburn.
Yeah, we had a field goal. Yeah, so we had a first drive one, but he's kind of stepped up his game and committed the turnover on the first drive because we were on our way to scoring a touchdown and kicking a field goal against Auburn. So that's what worries me. We got to eliminate the turnovers, and that's my biggest concern. I mean, it's pretty evident about, you know, this game, in my opinion, is going to be close, just like the last 2 years. I think our defense is not as bad as what they showed against Auburn. Like we said earlier, we just got outplayed, we got outcoached, we got out-schemed, everything, and we're not as bad as what we showed. And you know, I still worry about our defensive line getting pushed around by Alabama's big offensive line, but I also think that you know, Alabama's, you know, offensive scheme is pretty straightforward. They don't throw a lot of wrinkles, Todd. You know, as Todd would, you know, probably speak to, Alabama doesn't throw a lot of wrinkles at you offensively. So I think LSU can kind of gear up to play that same attacking mode defense that they've been playing all year. So so Todd, let's talk about offense now for Alabama. What do you think they need to do to sustain drives and get some points against LSU's defense? You know, both of these defenses ranked top 10 nationally in points allowed. So,
I think y'all's defense matches up with this really well. Actually, it should be. I don't think we'll have tremendous success. I don't guess. You know, it's not going to be a blowout or anything, but I think they will have some success. I think the biggest thing that we need to do and that we got away from is really be a downfield passing team. We got away from that at the start of conference play, and we had that same problem last year when we started conference play. You know, Greg McElroy just really kind of ground to a halt there last year until the Tennessee game, and then we came out against y'all last year and just came out five wide and throw and swing the ball around and kind of worked his way out of it. And then again this year, up until the second half of the Tennessee game, we just weren't hitting anything downfield, and it's not even that we were even attempting to try and stretch the field vertically. We were, you know, we were dinking and dunking all the time, and South Carolina kind of exposed us on that, and they stayed in their base defense and just, you know, we don't have to commit our safeties deep because you're not going to throw downfield. We can cover the intermediate stuff and limit the ground game at the same time. So, you know, they did it, and they shut us down completely on offense. And Ole Miss, that's sort of a they had that same sort of game plan and that same sort of success. Just thankfully, we were able to get some good plays off of them. But until the second game, remember, we were only up 13-10 at the half of that game, and it turned into a 41-10 route because, hey, look at that. We have really good receivers that can get open downfield. Let's throw to them. Let's just let them go throw downfield, and it worked. And lo and behold, once they started throwing downfield and they had to start keeping the safeties back some, all of a sudden the running back up again. That had been another thing that wasn't working well. So if we can come out with that same sort of attitude and that same kind of game plan, we don't even have to be successful hitting those plays downfield, but we have to make your defense respect that we're going to go over the top. And if they don't, you know, commit some safeties back there and give safety help over the top and try and, you know, create some running room underneath for Ingram and Richardson and even open up the short and intermediate stuff that we had been doing so well with at the start of the season, you know, if we don't have that mindset, if we don't at least attempt stuff down the field, then I think y'all can shut us down. Where I think y'all have a better advantage than any other team is, I think, you know, with Patrick Peterson, y'all can shut Julio Jones down. No one else has been able to. I think Patrick Peterson is arguably, if not the best DB in the SEC, is at least one of the best DBs in the SEC. And he can shut Julio down. So it would be up to Marquise Mays and Darius Hanks and a couple of the other rotational guys. Earl Alexander has come on. He and Brandon Gibson both have come on the last few weeks as the fourth and fifth receiver. So it'll be up to them to be able to get the the passing game going. But like I said, if we're not at least attempting that kind of stuff, you know, we're going to have to hit some of them, obviously. But if we're at least not attempting to stretch the field vertically like we got away from, you know, y'all can eat us alive just by playing in your same base defense and taking away the outlet receivers first.
Yeah, and as you're talking about that, I'm thinking back to last year and how Alabama kind of just – they didn't really look Julio Jones away, I think, the entire first half, but they really – I mean, they got Mays involved real early, and they hit a couple of, you know, good passes with those little crossing routes, you know, underneath everything. And that's kind of what I worry about is, you know, is our defense being out of position on some of those plays, you know, as we were last year. But we're a little bit strong. We're a lot stronger at linebacker now this year, I think, than we were last year. And we're a lot better at, you know, secondary, too, as well, with some developed guys, especially with the play at the Ray Mateo, also our freshman. You know, so I kind of look for LSU to improve upon that. And hopefully they look, you know, real closely at game film from last year, because I got to think Saban's going to take that same, that similar approach. And, you know, eventually, and in the second half, we saw, you know, Peterson get moved around a little bit, different positions, covering different guys. And the one big play I'll hit late in the game was a Julio Jones touchdown when I think Peterson was out of the game, probably either because of cramps or he might have been on the other side of the field covering another receiver. I can't really remember, but I think he was out of the game. I kind of think it's going to be that same approach for Alabama offensively. You know, for us, you know, defensively against your offense, I mean, it's pretty simple. I think we need to contain Richardson and Ingram. Well, like I said, I'm kind of worried about us getting pushed around the defensive line a little bit, but I think we can get back to playing that sound, good LSU defense that we've been playing all year. You know, it's done a lot of whole wrinkles. That's pretty, you know, prototypical, you know, offense, almost a pro-style offense in some ways. Very similar to what you saw LSU run with Matt Mark back in 2003 with, you know, with all the running backs we had back then. So, you know, I think defensively, I think if we just play, you know, good sound defense and try to do our best to force y'all in third and long situation, I think we're going to have some success. And, Billy, would you atone to that? Do you think pretty much in agreement with what we're saying? Do you have any other kind of things you need to throw out there?
No, I think you're right. We do have a very pro-style offense. You know, the biggest wrinkle that we put out there is occasionally throw out of the wildcat. I mean, you know, we don't do anything fancy. We just, you know, our MO is to just kind of line up and smash you in the mouth and, you know, sustain drives with the running game and occasionally hit stuff over the top. So, you know, hopefully, like I said, y'all match up really well against that kind of offense. The strength of your defensive line and the linebacking core, and plus having a good cornerback like Patrick Peterson to be able to line up over Julio. But, you know, like I said, we do have other, you know, as you mentioned, Marquise Mays had some good catches early on in the game. Darius Hanks had a touchdown catch early on in the game last year. So, you know, both of those guys have stepped up. And even, you know, they're kind of like the unsung heroes, I suppose, because both are, you know, very good receivers. They just get lost in the shadow and the hype of Julio Jones. But, you know, really, honestly, especially Marquise Mays, if he had not emerged as, you know, a very reliable receiver, I think our passing game would be total crap. I really do. But if not for him the last two seasons, just because, you know, you could double cover Julio and that would be it. But his emergence and Darius Hanks as well, he's not really a great deep threat or anything, but he's a very reliable and a very consistent receiver. So having those two guys emerge has really been what made our passing game go the last couple of years. So, you know, if we can get those two involved, you know, I certainly think we can have some success in the air. But, you know, I certainly agree with you. I think y'all's defense is built to stop this kind of offense. John Chavis is kind of an old-school defensive coordinator, and he's seen this kind of offense plenty. So, you know, y'all are built to stop this kind of offense, and it'll be, you know, it's not really a matter of scheme at this point. It's just a matter of execution.
Right. Billy, speak to the intangibles about this game. That's what that's what I think this game basically boils down to is, I mean, what do you think, who do you think has the edge intangible wise? I mean, I think, if you want to speak about special teams a little bit, I think we need to get back to, our special teams play hasn't been all that great. I know that's kind of an intangible, but who do you think holds the edge as far as intangibles in this game goes, Billy?
it's hard to say because, you know, the biggest thing I see that I've seen the last, you know, 2 to 3 seasons under Alabama with Saban is, you know, they've bought into the system, they bought into the process, and they're going to do what he says, and they're going to believe it, they're going to do it confidently, and confidence can take you so far in sports. You know, I don't think anyone would argue that. And I don't know that LSU's had a problem of the players not necessarily buying in totally, but this, there's this cloud of you know, unconfidence, or I guess unconfidence is probably not a word, but just a total lack of confidence around the program. And it's one of those things where, you know, the first time something goes bad, you know, the fan base checks out, they start booing, you know, and slowly you see it seep onto the field and the players lose confidence. And, you know, what worries me is Alabama making something happen early, maybe getting a touchdown on the first drive, and, you know, LSU does get that turnover with Jefferson in. And let's be real, at this point, there's a lot of LSU fans that basically hate Jordan Jefferson, and they're going to boo him, and they don't really care. And, you know, how does the team respond to that? You know, I think one of the best things that happened to them after the whole thing with Tennessee with the end of the game was that they got to go on the road. And going on the road in that scenario allows you to kind of, you know, the team to kind of hunker down and say, get into that bunker mentality and just say, you know what, screw it, we're going to do this for ourselves. And they came out confident early on against Florida, and they had that early success. You know, Jefferson takes them down and gets a field goal, you know, and even after 2 really bad turnovers get Florida the lead, you know, Jared Lee comes in and bam, immediately takes them down and gets them 6.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, getting something going right early, especially because, I mean, let's face it, daytime crowds tend to be a little subdued anyway. So something that gets them loud and gets them into the game and gets, you know, I expect the players to be hyped up, but something that gets them to that next level early is going to be key. You know, as far as special teams, I mean, kicking and punting has still been great, but returns have definitely taken a step back. And part of that, I mean, Auburn has a great punt. You know, give them credit for that. And so does Florida. Chaz Henry this year, I mean, should win the Ray Guy Award. And, you know, he's not a particularly good kicker, but when you figure out that he's kicking because the other guy's hurt, you know, you want to give him some slack there. And he's still leading the SEC in punting average. So, you know, good punters and good special teams coach. Both coaches, both Auburn and Florida, you know, have played pretty good special teams since their respective coaches got there, have found ways to basically do everything they can to get the ball away from Patrick Peterson on a punt return. And that's a smart play. And good punters can do that without, you know, kicking it 30 yards and out of bounds and giving you good field position.
Right, right. Todd, and thoughts about the game, and I don't know if Pac had explained to you, but once we kind of close, we're gonna pick games. We got a slate of about 12 games we're gonna pick. So, you want to stick around and pick those games with us, and we'll close out with the Alabama LSU game, of course. And just your closing thoughts about the game, and just kind of the way I toss it out to Billy. What do you think of some kind of like the extracurricular, the intangibles, put it on Saturday?
Well, you know, you're talking about intangibles. The one thing that I kind of think that Alabama has the edge on is that, you know, to Les Miles, this is a, you know, well, I want to beat Bama and Saban. Like, it's kind of a mission thing. And when you put that much emphasis on the one game, you know, it kind of becomes a, you know, you overthink it, you overanalyze it, you overprepare for it, that kind of thing. Whereas to Saban, I think, you know, and I'm not saying that I don't think this is a personal game to Saban. Because, you know, if you go back and you see the pregame speech before the 2018, you know, he was clearly fired up. He clearly wanted that win. But at the same time, I also feel like for Saban, it is just another game. It doesn't matter that it's LSU. It doesn't matter who it is. It's one more game. It's one more team you got to beat to get where you want to go. So in that regard, I think he probably has – we have that edge because, you know, he and the players, they take a very business-like approach to each game. And, you know, there's emotion there and there's desire there, but it is, you know, I think he has a much more business-like approach to everything than Les Miles does. And that's not, Yeah, I'm not. That's not a knock on Les Miles. I think Les Miles, you know, you look at him, he's a very passionate coach, and you've seen some of the footage of him at practice and the way he interacts with the players, and you could say, hey, you know, I think that, you know, it's understandable that players would love him. But, you know, like I said, I just think that kind of gives us the edge as far as the intangibles go. Just overall, as far as I think the game goes, I think it'll be, you know, another very close Alabama-LSU game. That's something, you know, someone's going to break something late in the game. I believe it'll be us, and I certainly hope it'll be us. But it'll be one of those, you know, late game, one play, kind of like the Julio screen last year. It'll be that one play that kind of breaks the game open, and that'll be it. So I think it'll come down to that. Hopefully, I think we'll win. I hope we'll win, but, you know, it'll come down to that one play. Honestly, I just really think that it's going to be that kind of game.
This game's going to come down to what happens as far as can LSU make plays in the end. Can LSU make the plays that they couldn't make the last 2 years in the end of the game to pull out a victory? Because I think I see this game as another close, you know, low-scoring game, high teens, low 20s, much like it was last year. The year before, it was 27-21 in overtime. So, you know, it just boils down to, like what you said, Billy, a score early for LSU only helps. Not getting two down if the early turnover does happen again. It's just a matter of kind of weathering the storm, I guess, on either side of the football. Should LSU get a big score early to really get the fans into it for an early afternoon game? I don't think it's going to be a little more subdued because it's a day game. It's still Alabama. A lot of LSU fans still have a lot of hatred for Alabama and Nick Saban. I don't personally feel that way. I think it's kind of ridiculous. It's kind of like a childhood, you know, argument thing to me, this whole Saban and Alabama thing now. It's kind of I'm past all that. You know, what's done is done. But, you know, LSU, both of these teams still have a lot to play for. You know, realistically, I don't think LSU has that shot to get into the national championship game much like Alabama does, just because we're four spots behind them, and I'm not convinced LSU can win out at this point. But, you know, regardless of what happens on Saturday, I still don't think we win out. So, you know, it's a matter of what can happen as far as, you know, keeping the fans of the game for LSU, and, you know, and can we devise, you know, can we do the things necessarily, especially getting the play, you know, getting the play from quarterback to get this offense kind of, you know, out of a rut. You know, can we do the things necessary to keep Alabama off balance? And that's something we haven't been able really to do, with the exception of the Florida game. That was probably our best offensive performance all year. So, you know, can we build off of that Florida game, or we're gonna, you know, is it gonna regress back to the point of what we saw against Tennessee and, you know, some of the other teams? So that's, you know, that's basically where it lays out. But that's kind of my feeling, and I'll give we'll do the picks now. We'll end it with LSU Alabama and get a score from everybody out here on the show tonight. So with that being said, let's roll right into it, and Bobcat's gonna have me do the picks because he can't read spreads on this thing. So I'm gonna read them off. So we're gonna spell it out. And Todd, what we're going to do is I'm just going to give the game and the spread and just a quick two or three word synopsis. It could be serious, it could be funny, as to what team you think is going to cover the spread. So just a quick little word, and we'll move on to the next game. So let's start out. Let's go. Air Force is traveling to Army. Army is getting 7.5 in this game. And I'll start with you, Todd.
I'll take Air Force. You know, Air Force has been a very good team the last few years, while Army has not, just to put it politely. You know, Army's, they just need that one win to get to bowl eligibility, but, you know, they're a very inconsistent team, have been bad the last few years because of it, and they are just kind of miraculously at 5 wins so far this year, so I got to go Air Force.
Okay, Billy?
I'm actually going to go with Army. I think being this close to bowl eligibility, I think it's going to give them that extra little bit of edge, and they're going to find a way to get it done. They finally went the route of Navy and Air Force and adopted the triple option, which is pretty much the perfect offense for a service academy to run, because it's all about discipline, and I mean, what else are the service academies about if they're not about discipline?
Gotcha. I'm going to go with Todd on this one. I'm going to take Air Force and give the points here for no other reason other than the fact that I just think Air Force is more battle-tested than Army. They've played tougher competition, so I think they can go to Army and win by more than 7.5. So I will give the points and take Air Force. Moving on to the Pac-10, we will go Arizona, 7-1, ranked 15th, traveling to Stanford, 7-1, ranked 13th. Stanford giving 8.5. Stanford 8.5 points favorite. Todd, yeah.
And I'm terrible picking with the spread. I would say I would take Stanford straight up, though I don't know that I would necessarily, if I were going with the spread, I might go with Arizona.
What was the spread again?
It's Stanford by 8.5.
I'm going to go with Arizona because I think at the end of the day, I think they play just enough defense to slow Stanford down.
I'm thinking along those same lines. 8.5 points is a lot. Stanford's good, but you know Arizona's just kind of flying under the wing now, sitting at 7-1 themselves. Oh, I like Arizona. I like Arizona to cover. I will. I guess it's taking a point. So I will. No, that's. Yeah, I'll take the points. Arizona to cover. Into the SEC now we shall go. Good West-East matchup here. Arkansas at South Carolina. South Carolina is a 3.5 point favorite. Todd.
I'll go with Arkansas. South Carolina, they're good. You know, it's funny for me to say they beat my team, but I don't think the South Carolina is particularly a good team. I just don't. They exploited the weaknesses of Alabama but then turned around and lost to Kentucky the next week, and they just kind of, they floundered. That's all, that's what they do. They get something going good on offense, next thing you come out and shoot themselves on the foot, same thing defensively. So I would definitely say that Arkansas should have success. I would take Arkansas to win straight up.
It's funny, I would have to disagree with Todd again. You know, I've disagreed with him on everything. It's funny. That's not by design, I promise you. I think South Carolina finds a way. I think they can run the ball on Arkansas, and I'm not sure that Arkansas can stop Lattimore. South Carolina finally seems to have found a way to limit Stephen Garcia's mistakes, focus on Alshon Jeffrey, who, is pretty much outplaying every other receiver in the league this year. And, honestly, I think in big games, at big moments, Ryan Mallett is going to choke. I mean, he's done it, honestly, in almost every game since he's been at Arkansas. When the going gets tough, he makes the big mistake. And I'm not going to pick him in a big game until he shows he can do something different.
All right, fair enough. I'm gonna stick with Todd on this one. I like Arkansas. I just think for the same reason, I'm thinking Arkansas just for the same reason I took Air Force. I think Arkansas is more. A little bit more battle-tested. They play in the West, which is a much tougher division than the East is this year. I don't think South Carolina has that. They have the SEC East is there for them to take, but I still don't think they have that sense of urgency yet because they still have the game lead on Florida, and they still have to play each other, so they can still lose this game and beat Florida, and still go on and win the SEC East. So. That being said, I like Arkansas to go to South Carolina, and I like Arkansas to come out with the victory, straight up. So I will go with Arkansas. To the Big 12 we shall go. It's Baylor at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State is favored by 7.5, and we'll stick with the same rotation and work my way back to me. Todd, go ahead.
Yeah, that's kind of a tough one. I think I'll go with Oklahoma State on that. Baylor's, they're a feel-good story, and I like Art Briles as a coach. I think, a lot of people go to Baylor, and that's where that's where careers go to die. But Art Briles, a lot of people scratch their heads when he went there. But he's a very good offensive mind, and he finally got his team built and the quarterback to run his offense. So it's a feel-good story, but at the same time, it's Baylor. They're kind of a one-trick pony, whereas Oklahoma State is a little bit more of a complete team. So I'll go Oklahoma State on this one.
All right, Billy?
I'm going to agree. I think Oklahoma State has just enough defense. Baylor's a lot of fun to watch, and I think it's a testament to what a great talent at quarterback can do. I mean, Robert Griffiths, a guy who you know, would probably start anywhere, and that maybe even includes Auburn with Cam Newton. As good as Cam Newton's playing, Robert Griffin's a very similar player who's had a little bit better of a year passing. But I think Oklahoma State gets it done.
Okay, and I am going to make it a unanimous Oklahoma State. I'm taking them for no other reason other than the letdown theory. Baylor, big win over Texas last week, albeit it's against Texas, who isn't very good this year, but still a big win on a still a big win in Baylor's eyes. And now they got to travel to Oklahoma State, who's a pretty good team. I like Oklahoma State to win by double digits, so I'm going with the Cowboys. Florida at Vandy. Vandy's getting 14.5.
I'll go Florida. I mean, it's Vandy. What are you going to say?
Yeah. Simple enough. Really?
Yeah. Ditto. I mean, yeah. It's Vandy. You know, they'll make a big mistake, and I have a feeling maybe Florida covers with a little defense or special team score, not necessarily on offense, and maybe Casey Hayward embarrasses John Brantley once or twice, but yeah, Florida covers.
Yeah, unanimous again. I like Florida. Vanderbilt, not very good. 14.5, Florida, although they struggled this year a little bit, they're still 14.5 points better than Vanderbilt, so I will go with that. Next one is USL, Southwestern Louisiana, Louisiana Lafayette, whatever you want to call them. We call them USL on this show. They're traveling to Ole Miss. Ole Miss is a 27.5 point favorite.
Well, in that case, I'm going to take I'll take the Raging Cajuns to cover. I mean, Ole Miss, they just – I don't even know what to make of Ole Miss anymore. They just – pretty good on offense, terrible defense. I think they'll win, and they'll win comfortably, but not by that much. I'd take USL to cover.
Give me the Red Bears. I think Jeremiah Masoli by himself may be good enough for 28 points. And you know, this is the same USL team that gave Western Kentucky their first full subdivision win. So I'm going to take Ole Miss.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you here, Billy. USL is bad this year. And like you said, given Western Kentucky their only win of the year, I like Ole Miss to win this game pretty big. And they'll cover that 27.5. And with that being said, Pocket, I'm going to need you to take over now because I don't know these next two teams that are up here on this thing because this window's still blocking me.
All righty, I'll take over. The other Service Academy game of the weekend, Navy at Eastern Carolina, kind of Midshipmen versus Pirates. It'd be a better halftime show anyway. Let's see. Eastern Carolina is favored by 3.5.
I'll take Navy on this. I'll take Navy to win straight up. You look at East Carolina, they got some pretty good wins, beat NC State. They kept it close for a half against Virginia Tech, wound up getting punted out in the second half. But, yeah, you look at East Carolina, the games they've won were by pretty slim margins, and the games that they've lost were blowouts. And every game they've played has been a fairly high-scoring affair, which is kind of strange. You'd think Ruffin Neal, being a defensive guy, would have a little more focus on the defense. But, I think Navy. I'll go Navy to win straight up on this one.
I'm going to second that. I think, Navy's offense is just too hard to prepare for a bad defensive team on a short week on a non-bye week. So I think they run the ball. I think they keep East Carolina off the field and think they win.
Yep, we'll make it unanimous one more time. I like Navy for the straight up win as well and the cover.
All right, next one, back out to the Big 12, Oklahoma on the road at a getting better A&M now that they've started that wide receiver at quarterback. They've been doing much better the last couple games. Still, Oklahoma, 7-1, eighth ranked in the country, is favored by 4.5.
I'll take Oklahoma on this one. A&M's improved, and I think I think they're on the right track if they can ever get their personnel straightened out, but they're just so inconsistent and flaky, whereas, Oklahoma, I think the jury's still a little out on how good Oklahoma really is, but they're still a good team and a much better team than A&M, so I'll take them. I'll definitely take them to cover.
I agree.
I think Oklahoma runs the ball, keeps A&M's offense off the field, finds a way to get the job done.
Yep, Oklahoma, unanimous one more time. So we'll move on to the next game. And Podcat, I can go ahead and read the rest of them all because I'm back up and running. If you want me to, I'll go ahead and read the rest of them.
I was kind of getting used to it again. Well, all right.
Okay, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to kill your flow here.
Yeah, I was kind of liking this again. Let me do the next one at least. The game that's going to be on while we're on, TCU at Utah. Game day's going there, but the game is stuck on, what is it, CBS College Sports Television and Fishing. I don't know. It's way at the end of the dial where, if you even have it. Let's see. TCU is favored by 6.
Yeah, that's a pretty good matchup. I think, you know, Utah's a paper tiger. I think, you know, their competition has been bad. They've looked like a very good team, but right now you can't judge them, whereas TCU is just playing really very good defense. I think, 6.5 is a lot, but I'm going to go with TCU to cover.
My guess is Utah finds a way to cover. I pretty much agree with most of what Todd said, and Podcat knows from emails that I'm a big Gary Patterson TCU fan, but fan of the way they play football anyway. But, yeah, I think Utah being the home team, I think they find a way to cover.
I'm gonna go with TCU based on the fact this is my – every week there's a game where the spread is just – it's begging you to take the underdog. In this case, Utah, it just looks like a spread where you'd want to take Utah, two unbeaten – non-BCS qualified teams. It's a 6.5-point. Utah's getting 6.5 at home and just begging you to take Utah. So I'm gonna flip flop that, and I'm just gonna go. I'm gonna say it good. I'm gonna go ahead and say TCU by double digits in this game. I think TCU covers.
All right, next one, the battle for Tennessee, because both of these teams pretty bad this year. Tennessee at Memphis. But Tennessee is still a 19.5-point favorite.
Man, that's a if it's a battle for Tennessee. Can I go with Middle Tennessee State on this one? wow, I'm going to go with Memphis. I'm going to go with Memphis to cover. I think Tennessee will win, but that's a pretty big spread there. Two very very bad teams, but you know what the heck? I hate Tennessee, so I'll just say Memphis out of spite.
I might actually agree. I think that's too big a number for Tennessee to cover, you know. It's funny that they're the best 30-minute team in college football this year. They keep everybody close until the half, and they get blown away. So I don't think the game's ever going to be in doubt. I just don't see them pulling away from Memphis in the end to cover that spread.
Yep, I'm going to make it unanimous and take Memphis only because I'm throwing a bone out to my in-laws who live in Memphis and are big Memphis Tiger fans, more so for basketball than football. They know their football's atrocious, but they mostly just like the basketball. But they still follow their football Tigers as well. And for that reason, I'm taking Memphis to cover.
All right, last one before our game. Texas travels to Kansas State. This could be the moment where Kansas State puts the dagger in Texas' season and we start seeing some bloodletting. Kansas State got exposed pretty bad against Nebraska a couple weeks ago, so they're not any good. But Texas is favored by 4.
Man, I can't believe Texas is favored, especially on the road. Honestly, though, Kansas State's another one of those teams that kind of a paper tiger or a paper wildcat, as the case may be. They're not a great team. They've beaten some bad teams, I suppose. But, you know, that's a tough one to call. I'm going to go with Texas just because I think after, you know, as embarrassed as they've been, they can go on the road. It's kind of like y'all were talking about LSU. It'll be good for them to get out of Austin and then go play somewhere else for a weekend. So I'll go Texas to cover on this one.
I'd agree. I think that just Kansas State doesn't have enough offense to take advantage of what Texas has struggled with, and I think Texas will find a way to win.
Yeah, I like Texas. Kansas State, not too spectacular. Texas, not too spectacular, but I think Texas does enough, and I will give the points and take Texas.
All right, that's the end of the picks. Now on to us. Bama at LSU. Bama is favored by 6. Your closing thoughts, gentlemen.
You know, we talked earlier, I think it will be a really close game. I don't know. I'll go with Alabama to cover that, but just barely.
My guess is LSU covers, but it's some one of those, you know, something like 24-19 or 20-17, something, you know, close. Bama gets up, LSU fights back, but just can't quite finish.
Yeah, as much as I hate to say it, I think this is much like the last 2 years. This is a touchdown game, but it's a touchdown game in favor of Alabama. My heart, of course, always says LSU, but my head, for purposes of this show, is saying Alabama is going to cover and win by a touchdown. And, of course, in our Saturday morning show, I'm going to predict a score totally opposite of that. LSU is going to win 75-2 just because I've had a few beers in me at that point. So, but purposes of tonight and keeping it real, because that's what we do for our fans here on the Go Show. We're realistic. We're not crazy at all on our projections or our predictions or anything like that. But this season's kind of starting to pan out exactly how I thought it would. But I like Alabama to cover, as much as it hurts me to say it. And I'll give my score Saturday. But Todd, you kind of gave a roundabout score. You said about a touchdown. So what are you thinking?
I'll say 27-17. Actually, you know what? I'm going to downgrade that. I'm going to go 21-14.
Okay.
I'll go with 21-17.
Okay. I'm not giving a score. That's how my reserve for Saturday shows when we do home games. So that will close it out for us. Thanks to Todd from let me make sure I got this right again. It's Roll Bama Roll, correct?
RollBamaRoll.com. Yes, correct.
RollBamaRoll.com. That's part of SB Nation as well, correct?
Correct.
All right. Do you do a podcast on your own as well, or is?
We do. We do ours on Wednesday nights at 8 Central.
Okay.
So right. Feel free to call in tomorrow night, any of y'all that are available.
Okay. If I got time, I might do that. So that's an open invite. I might try to do that.
Yeah, stop by. We'll quiz you.
Okay. Sounds good. So thanks to Billy filling in for Patrick and Poser, who Poser's been absent for a few weeks, but we all know what that's about. And Patrick, who texted me late and said he couldn't be with us tonight, he'll be disappointed to know that we did the show without him, but he'll get his shots in on Saturday. And listen for us on Saturday morning. We'll be back for the first time in a long time for a month. We'll be streaming live again on the parade grounds. Everybody listens to the show during the week if you're there. Whether it be, you know, we'll do the show probably around 8:30.
There's going to be a little bit of a problem with that. I might as well bring it up on the show now. I found out LSU salutes is this weekend. So,
yeah,
you know, they're going to be bringing out the artillery cannons and all that on the parade ground. So, you know, if everybody gets there when they say they're going to get there Friday night, maybe we'll do a go show at night.
Maybe so. Not a bad idea.
Because the weather's going to be just gorgeous this weekend.
Yeah. So in any event, we're going to do a show at some point this Saturday, whether it be streaming live Saturday morning or tape delayed at some point. There's going to be beer involved, which always makes good banter. There's going to be a lot of arguing going on between all of us. So listen to that. Feel free to stop by. We're right there, right across from the front steps of the Union. And Todd, are you making a trip to Baton Rouge?
I'm not, but one of our writers, Cliff, or whose real name is Cliff, I'm sure y'all have had encounters with him. He gets around on SBN. But he will be there. I'll pass along the invite. Tell him to come by and say hello, represent us.
Okay, sounds good. Well, that will do it for us. Thank you for listening. Podcast behind the scenes, push the button as always. Thank you to Triple P, the Fairport Pimp. And this is the Go Show, your original LSU podcast. In partnership with AndTheValleyShip.com. We are done. Go Tigers. We'll